The Legal Lowdown on Kerry Today.
Yeah, we have Miriam McGillicuddy, who is a solicitor and with us on the line, and our regular contributor, of course, for The Legal Lowdown. Miriam, good morning to you and good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning, listeners, on this unexpectedly fine morning.
Yeah, indeed, not too bad at all, not too shabby. No, we've lots of queries to get to, and get your queries into us on any of our numbers, listeners. We're going to start with the Fair Deal Scheme, Miriam, this morning, because a caller has been told it would cost €6,600 to sign over the deeds of a family home to her only child, but wonders, in the event of the parents requiring nursing home care in the future, would they still be able to get nursing home care through the Fair Deal Scheme, or how does that situation work?
Yeah, I mean, any transfers or diminution of assets over 5 years before you go into a home aren't taken into account. So I suppose people are considering this earlier on in their lives to see whether they should transfer assets over to family members, particularly where, you know, a large amount of the asset, like a second home or some other asset, could be taken in the Fair Deal Scheme if one was in the home long term. This sounds like it's the main family home. And as you know, Jerry, we always recommend that your home is your castle and you should hang on to it till you're completely dead and gone. But people are looking at various options. The Fair Deal can take up to 22.5% of the family home. There's a cap on it, 7.5% per annum for each year one is in the home, up to 3 years, and it's capped at that. So there's a limit to what the Fair Deal can take from your home, eventually, you know, in that kind of sense. Also, there's, I understand there's new provisions in relation to renting it out while one is in the home to pay for extras, which would be very handy as well, because the Fair Deal scheme itself and the financial assessment can be quite onerous on families in terms of how much of the income it takes in a family situation. So one would need to be cognizant of that. I mean, it does cost to transfer during your lifetime. It's that bit more expensive than going on a debt usually. I mean, it's obviously something that they can look into all the ins and outs of. But strictly speaking, with the Fair Deal Scheme, provided they've transferred more than 5 years before they go into a home, the Fair Deal will still kick in for them, even if they've no assets at all. So it is a fair deal from that point of view, and that it makes sure that everyone in the country can get nursing home care. However, one does have to be careful about, you know, should one transfer over assets, would it not be useful if one could rent that out down the line to benefit the people who own it, like the parents?
Your own ownership and all of that. Yeah, that's exactly worth considering, so, for sure.
Really, one needs to weigh it up carefully before one makes any big move there.
Okay, caller recently discovered that their house is not registered with the land registry. I'm told it will take a while to sort it out. Could Miriam tell me, is it costly or how long will it take?
Yeah, I mean, there's two methods of registering in Ireland. There's the land registry, where 90%, more now I say at this stage, 93% of the country is land registry, and one has a title deed through a folio file plan. The rest of the country would be unregistered title, which would be a bundle of title deeds. The caller doesn't make it clear whether he has that bundle of title deeds or not, but he can, if he has the bundle of title deeds, he can apply to register in the land registry if he wants to. And if he's no deeds at all but has been in long-term occupation of the property, he can apply to the land registry for long occupation of property that's not registered in the land registry but that he has been in occupation of, and his family before him, his predecessors before him, he can apply for registration in the land registry. And it would be a very good idea to do it, because it does take quite a few years. And because the land registry have to examine his ownership, as it were, or his purported ownership, and go into how that has arisen and verify the history as he's setting it out. But basically, he puts all the history of the property into a sworn document with as many exhibits as he can and proof that he has of his occupation and presence there. And then the Land Registry will, and a proper map, of course, and then the Land Registry will consider that in due course and query his occupation, his ownership, query his history, and then, provided they're happy at the end of it, they'll register that as registered title, which is really very handy then moving forward. So it is costly, but not over costly.
Yeah.
And it's really worth it because you just put your history together, get it into the Land Registry, and because it takes so many years, it's a good idea to get the process started ASAP and just have your application in there. And that application as well is kind of almost proof for against all comers, as it were.
Yes.
That you're putting your proof down on paper as well. So it's kind of solidifying your occupation of the land. So important to do it. And at the end of the day, if he looks into it with his solicitor, it probably isn't that expensive at the end of the day, particularly in comparison to the value of the land.
Yeah, okay, all right. That's an interesting one, and good advice on that one. Another listener gets in touch and says, it's very wrong that in the case where maintenance costs have stopped and one partner must bring the other to court to get the matter resolved, that legal costs have to be paid by the person bringing the case. Understandable if someone lost a job or something, but where there is no reasonable explanation, caller feels strongly legal costs should be awarded. This is, I think, for maybe the Minister for Justice to tackle, but it's the disincentive on people chasing for what they're entitled to, I'd imagine, through the courts, Miriam.
It's very difficult, but the courts have made it easier. There's if one goes into the court's website and goes into the maintenance section, there's a simple enforcement form that people can issue themselves, setting out the arrears. It is a good idea, I suppose, once it goes into court, to have a solicitor there, because the implications for the person who hasn't paid maintenance is that they could go to jail. And if there's no reasonable explanation, as this person has set out in their problem there, they could actually go to jail on it. Now, interestingly, I was looking at the form this morning because the old form had a little section in it that you could apply for costs. And I've often done that whenever I'm applying for, on behalf of people for maintenance arrears, I'd look for costs as well. But the problem is that the judges don't usually award costs in family law cases unless the person on the other side has acted completely unreasonably. As we've a lot of High Court precedents on it as well, and it is frustrating for people involved in family law when they go in, and like in this situation where they go into court and looking for their costs, and the family law judges would usually not award it unless there's an unusual circumstances, like the application had no merit in it or somebody was acting very obstructively. Then that might be a reason to award costs in the situation. But at the end of the day, for maintenance arrears, there is a streamlined procedure there. There's a form on the court website. All you have to do is fill it in with when the arrears arose, how much are they. It includes medical, educational and dental costs. And if one has a solicitor, actually, it's an interesting point the listener has raised, because I was looking at the form this morning and there is a little extra at the end that one could include legal costs, just to show to the judge that there's legal costs involved.
Yes.
And
yeah,
that, the judge might consider that when they're looking at how they will deal with the maintenance arrears.
Yeah.
So, all is not lost in that sense. So one can always ask for them. And
yeah,
in family law cases, we generally ask for them as a matter of formality. But in general, in family law cases, the judges say both sides pay their own costs. And as I say, it's only if there's no merit in an application at all that they'll award costs against somebody.
Okay. All right. Miriam, stay with us. We're going to talk more queries to get to on the legal lowdown. We'll get to those after we take these.
The Legal Lowdown on Kerry Today.
Yeah, we're talking with Miriam McGillicuddy on The Legal Lowdown. And Miriam, a couple of more queries to get to here. Can you ask Miriam if the Small Claims Court really has any power? Is it worth going to?
Oh, yeah, that's, I mean, I'm afraid I love the Small Claims Court. I'm a real supporter of it because it's one of the few places where people can bring a case themselves. And it's very easy to, you can do the application online. So anything related to defective goods and services, business disputes, disputes maybe over small damage to property, you know, issues around people renting a room or something like that, they all can be taken to the Small Claims Court, and the limit is €2,000 and it only costs €25 to bring the claim. Also, one doesn't have to be worried about costs being awarded against one if one loses or anything like that. There is a procedure for mediation and all that. So it does have power. Now, the only thing is, I suppose, the worry for people taking the case themselves, you know, certain disadvantages might be the limits are low, €2,000. But other than that, it does have power. One has a chance to bring one's claim in before an adjudicator. Well, first of all, they look at mediation and seeing if the issue can be sorted out. And if it can't be sorted out with mediation, then you get an opportunity to bring your claim to a judge. And if an order is granted, it can be enforced. So it is very strong. And there's also another section of the procedure where you can apply in relation to any business in Europe or anybody in Europe, and that the limits on that claim are higher. They're €5,000 through the European procedure. So it does have power, and it gives power to the people, as it were, because people themselves can bring a claim to the Small Claims Court. And it also means that, for example, retailers are much more circumspect about consumer friendliness and sorting out a consumer because the Small Claims Court is there in the background. So it has had a big impact. The only complaint, Gerry, and we've often spoken about it before, is that we wish the limit would be a bit higher.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't cover, I mean,
it doesn't reflect the modern reality of inflation and what costs are.
Your expensive car, or your expensive telly, or even your super duper washing machine, it might
mightn't even cover that.
And it could be you know, a bit higher from that point of view. But it does have power. It does have advantages, disadvantages like any other court. But the advantages, I think, outweigh the disadvantages.
Yeah. Okay. Miriam, my son needs free legal aid for a divorce. He suffers from depression. What does he need to do? I mean, that's means tested. So it's the Legal Aid Board?
It is.
The first port to call?
Yeah, www.legalaidboard.ie. And he can apply online there. Their FLAC used to operate a little clinic in Tralee through the Citizens Information Centre, but if he needs help with forms, he could contact the Citizens Information Centre. You know, sometimes if one has depression, it's hard to, one almost needs an advocate.
Yeah.
Although his mom sounds hopefully like she could help him out with it as well. But just to fill in the forms, and if he's on disability or any form of social welfare payment, and if it's a family law matter, he should be automatically entitled to legal aid. The other option is to go into the local law centre and get the physical forms and fill them out there. And one could get help maybe filling them out there as well, bringing in evidence of the social welfare payment.
Yeah, okay. Miriam, my son, caller says he needs to get registry maps. Can he get them without going through a solicitor?
Yeah, I presume this would be the registry maps of something that's already registered. And in that case, the website is www.landdirect.ie with two D's in the middle there, .ie. And you can register there as a guest and just put in the air code or the address, and it'll bring up the folio of the property, and one can print off the map. Now, if you need a good map, it's better to apply for a certified copy of the folio, and that costs €40. But one just can, you should be able to apply for it there online. Now, going back to the point earlier on where the person had land that wasn't registered in the land registry, there he would, if he's applying to the land registry to get the property registered, he'd need to get his own map. And he'd need to get an engineer to go out and mark it out. And then that's sent into the land registry. And once it's registered, obviously, it'll be up there on Land Direct.
Okay, brilliant. Miriam, look, thanks so much for talking to us again this month, answering all those queries. If anyone else has queries, then get them into us now. Thanks, Miriam.
Thank you, Jerry. And thank you, listeners. Have a lovely day.
Great stuff, Miriam McGillicuddy there with the Legal Lowdown. She'll be back with us this time next month. So get your questions and queries into us now. We'll pass them on to her in the meantime.